need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Well, my worn-out boots are taking me downtown, and I'm looking for trouble, and I want to get loud. Serve me up a drink, and I'll shoot it right down, and I'll jump up on the car and holler one more round. I'm going straight to hell. Ain't nothing slowing me down. I'm going straight to hell. So you just better give me one more round.
One more round, brothers and sisters. One more round of the Dr. Susan Block Show, broadcasting live on Radio Susie One, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex. We all have that in common, and we're going to talk about sex, love, life, and death, as we usually do here on the Dr. Susan Block Show. But we're going to talk about it as it takes place in a certain, what they call, subculture of America, that this song bubbles up from. This song from the wild and wonderful whites of West Virginia, which is a movie that y'all should see, because it's wild and wonderful, and it's directed by my old friend, Brother Julian. Julian Nitzberg, who is here in the Radio Susie One studios, my featured guest tonight on the Dr. Susan Block Show. We are talking about Julian and his amazing, unnerving, gotta watch it like a car accident, but very heartfelt movie. The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. Whoa, 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 whoa. Welcome, Julian.
Thank you so much.
I need to see this.
Okay. Now I'm going to introduce Cadence because she is trying to talk already. And her mic is not on. Cadence,
it's
welcome
not?
Back. Case, well, now it is. And what did you just say, girl?
I need to see this movie.
Everyone
Sister
does.
Cadence does, yes, yes. And I made everyone on my staff see it.
It's absolutely great because I don't, Julian, I don't watch any movies. If Hollywood was dependent on me, you'd all be broke. You'd all lose your Cadillacs and all your mansions and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's Mercedes.
It was good. I watched the whole thing. Oh, Mercedes, I'm sorry.
He did. I only made him sit through the first 10 minutes, and then he was hooked.
Really? Yeah, it was voluntary.
You know, they're addictive, those whites. They're addictive people. Like, they're addicted to various substances. We get addicted to them, at least the way you present them.
They are very addictive.
Is it on Netflix?
It is on Amazon Downloads. It is on Vudu. It opens in L.A. on Friday.
Oh.
And,
yeah.
That's
so timely.
I think it's still on Video On Demand or VOD.
Wow.
Woohoo!
So opens in L.A. on Friday at the Lemley.
At the Lemley Sunset 5. Then it moves down to the Downtown Independent on 2nd and Main Street.
These liberal theaters showing a movie about redneck chic, I guess you could call it.
And at the Downtown culture. Independent, we have a special deal that you get in free if you have a West Virginia driver's license, are wearing tap shoes, have been convicted of a felony and can prove it.
Oh,
tap
that's me.
Shoes.
I got
no,
mine.
Me too.
I can
shoes.
Do that.
Right. That's right. We can both get in. I have the tap shoes.
Have the tap
he
shoes.
Has the felony.
I have the conviction.
All right.
Okay.
There we or go. A visible bullet wound.
Wow.
And if you have three, you get
50 Cent, listen.
If you get three, you get a bucket of popcorn.
Oh, wow. How about if you have three, like, put together?
Yeah, three. You mean people put together or...
Well, you know, like, we could come up with two together.
Well, I have a wound. I have a knife wound. Is that it?
Oh, right. He has a knife wound.
Does that count?
Come on.
Or,
come
I
on.
Think maybe you just tell the box office person it's a knife. It's a bullet wound.
You're not going to.
I won't contradict and correct you.
Boy, now that you put it this way, I'm realizing, you know, how much like the whites we really are.
I'm going to go out and get shot.
They are just brothers and sisters like us. They are just children of sex, but they are these really out there people, mm-hmm. these people that you did this anthropological sort of study on, which I would like to say, first of all, is produced by Johnny Knoxville, who's not a redneck himself, I guess. But
I'd like to bang.
There you go. And so he produced this.
Yeah.
And what's his involvement with this?
He'd seen some of my documentaries, and suddenly I got this call from a mutual friend saying, Johnny Knoxville is obsessed with your documentaries. Can I give him your phone number? And I said, sure. And next thing I get this phone call, hey, it's Johnny Knoxville. And, you know, wasn't sure if it was a prank or not, because that's kind of the beginning of any prank.
Right.
And I said, and he's like, I want to meet you. And I was like, if you can show up in my house and take me out for dinner, I'll do it. And he showed up at my house. We went out to Monterey Park, ate some Chinese food. And next thing, we bonded over our mutual love of very disgusting outlaw country and offensive
Daredevils.
Country. Yeah.
The original Daredevils.
Mm-hmm. And then he ended up coming to Beastly Bombing a bunch of times. My operetta, he became obsessed
yes.
with that.
And that's how we know Julian. Did I say that?
Yep.
Yes. We know you through the operetta. Actually, we know you through Robert Greene, author of...
That's correct.
The 48 Laws of Power.
Mm-hmm. Love that book.
Isn't that a great book?
Yeah. And
we got to get Robert back
how
here.
Many laws of seduction?
I don't know if there's an amount of seduction. It's like
oh,
the
no.
art of seduction.
He wrote all these books
yeah,
that
yeah,
were
yeah.
fucking amazing.
Yeah, yeah, the art of seduction. But I think there's just like endless laws for that. There's only 48 laws to power, but seduction is
I know there's
infinite.
33 laws of war, I think he said.
Yeah.
Okay.
No one wants
there you
to
go.
Do
yeah, the
know
art of
that.
War is...
Kill
no,
your enemy.
Sense. Right. So Robert Greene introduced us. Then we went to see the Beastly Bombing. And as I was telling one of our illustrious audience members out in the speakeasy, this is so exciting to talk about
it's very exciting.
A celebrity right. audience yes. member that we have, Veronica Hart, a.k.a.
Right.
Jane
right.
Hamilton, yeah. is in our audience right
I
now.
Mean,
and she's going to
yeah.
say hi a little later.
Yeah.
But we're very excited,
I'm so excited
that she's here.
I'm,
MTAZ brought her.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she's, of course, just in case, you know, you were born in the 21st century. You shouldn't be listening to this show, but any case, she's the classic porn legend.
Hottie.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
And total hottie, MILF.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
yep.
Beautiful.
Anyway, she's out there, and...
She's out
but
there.
But not as out there as the wild, wonderful whites of West Virginia. Although she did do a movie called Outlaw Ladies.
Really?
Where she wears panties over her face like a, you know, like a kerchief.
Uh-huh.
You know. And
yeah.
So I think there's some connection there. And I invited Cadence because she has a lot of hot tattoos, you know.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Have you ever had a tattoo made on you at home, like in a kitchen?
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay. Things we have in common with the whites.
What is it?
My boyfriend put Thug Life on my ankle.
Thug Life?
Thug Life.
Oh, Thug Life.
Like Tupac.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we shared the same needle. And
How romantic.
Yeah, I know. He calls it romance.
Are you still together?
Yep.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well,
at least you didn't make him, he didn't like tattoo his own face on you and then you broke up.
No. He's an amazing guy, but his thing of romance, his ideas are a little on the odd side.
Really? I thought his ideas were pretty healthy from what I could see a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you very much, yes.
Very healthy.
Well, just so you know, Brandon, who shot Billy in the face in my movie, has the same tattoo as you do.
Thug Life?
He has a Thug Life tattoo.
Brandon, who shot Billy in the face. Right.
And Durkee has a Tupac poster over his bed. He said that is his hero.
Hey, Tupac's the new Bob Dylan of poetry. Mm-hmm. Well, or...
Old. Dead.
Yes. Yeah.
At least Bob Dylan's still alive, I think.
Very true.
Barely, but he is. Yeah.
If Tupac had only lived to do a Christmas album like Bob Dylan just did.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's amazing how Tupac... Well, of course, you know, everything's going cross-cultural these days. That's what the internet does. That's what music does. And that's what
Very true.
Movies like this movie does. See, it's playing right there. I think... Oh, I thought there... Oh, this is the scene in the...
Where they got married in the...
Where they get married in the Walgreens.
Yeah.
Or the Walmart or something.
Wow.
Yeah, they get married right in there, and then they're outside there. Yeah, and I think they're still married in the movie, right?
Yeah, I see.
They are still together.
That I need to watch this movie.
Mousy and Charlie are still together.
Okay.
Yes.
But a lot of people went through some changes in your movie. So Johnny was also interested in this family, the whites of West Virginia, and then they're like this rebel...
Outlaw
family, and they have murder and mayhem in their family.
They're the most loved and most hated family in West Virginia, depending on who you talk to. So,
right, and I think you know the people you were talking to. A lot of them had the mixture of love and hate.
Yeah, they're
kind
of like the Jesse James gang of modern times. So,
because they're entertaining.
Why?
But they're scary.
They're hustlers and criminals, and they're super charming because that's part of their skill set. And they're
so sociopaths?
No. Just charming and enjoyable.
Well, I think some of them could be sociopaths.
I don't think they are. Mm. Seriously, they don't have that sociopath gene. Like they're much more.
They do care. That's true. They care. They seem to care about each other.
Yeah.
But you know, they're just willing to kill each other.
Well,
pretty easily.
They have tempers.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, they don't seem to have a superego. I mean, they don't seem to have anything to rein themselves in terms of, you know, just using guns and knives and drugs and anything.
They're quick to hate and quick to love. And
it sounds like they're free.
Yeah, they're very free. So they do... If they get mad at you,
free? They're free. You know, that's what they say. That's what they say in the movie that they're free. But I wonder if you're born into that family, and you don't feel like living a life of murder and mayhem, then maybe you're imprisoned by that.
It kind of sucks if you don't want to be a full on criminal.
Right. Well, you know, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of raise you in the criminality. Like, it's like, you know, your movie Gypsy Family, where, like, the gypsies are passing the skill set on from generation to generation. And for the ones who don't want to do it, by the time they get to 18, it's too late because they've already committed some crimes and can't, you know, no one will accept them in society.
And you have to live with that.
Yeah.
And
so,
they have this family name.
Yeah, I mean...
And everyone has that last name, by the way.
Yeah.
It seemed in your movie, everyone has the last name White. Now, how does that work? I mean, do they marry each other? I mean, is that?
No, just, you know, most of the women, because it's a matriarchal society.
Uh-huh.
I think you can kind of see that. And most of them don't marry the fathers, and so they end up giving their kids, you know, their last name. Except for Brandon, who shot Billy in the face. His last name's Poe. So, And he has a sister who's actually a straight-A student and a cheerleader, and is probably the only one who really wants to get out of that lifestyle. So,
What type of film is this? Is this somewhat of a documentary?
It's a total documentary.
Yeah, it's a total documentary.
Wow.
It's like anthropological in the way that it goes into these people's lives. He's there for a year.
It was actually a year and 4 months, yeah.
And how did they let you live?
Well, I'd known them 20 years, so...
Really?
Wow, how did you get to know these people?
Years ago, I was making a documentary about a rockabilly singer named Hassel Atkins, who's from Boone County.
Oh, my God.
And do you know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
And Hassel Atkins...
There you go. I knew, you'd have things in common.
He was a proto... basically, he was more of a punk rocker than a rockabilly star in the 50s. He was singing all his songs about cutting people's heads off. And Hassel Atkins used to perform with the patriarch of the White family, D. Ray White. And basically, we were shooting this concert, and this giant cat fight breaks out. And who breaks it up? Mamie White. Who keeps coming up to my camera and just yelling, "Guess what?" And I'd be like, "What, Mamie?" And she'd yell full volume, and I don't want to fuck up your mics, but you'd go, "I'm on acid, woo!" And a week later, I went to shoot with Hassel, and Mamie drives up in her pickup, and she's like, "You're the movie guys, aren't you?" And we're like, yeah. And she's like, "Come over here, I want to tell you something." And I'm like, "What, what?" And she goes, "Get closer." And I'm like, "What, Mamie?" She goes, "Guess what?" And I go, "What, Mamie?" And she goes, "I'm on acid again, woo!" And then she said,
"Wow.
I'm going to have my birthday's on Saturday. I'd like you to come because I'm going to have a cake, and it's going to have tits and a pussy on it."
All right.
And I said,
"That'll bring anyone in."
And I said, you know, as a red-blooded American male, I love cake.
Yeah.
And so...
cheesecake, baby.
So I decided to go, and actually on the way I couldn't find her place. She gave me these directions, and I kept ending up at the stream, like a three-foot-high stream, and she had no telephone. And later I found out that she was just like, "Julian, just... you just drive through the stream real fast. It won't kill your motor." And so.
Whoa. Wow.
But I didn't.
Did she do it first?
Well, the thing is, I didn't see her till the next day. But I drove back and I saw this guy sitting in a pickup truck. And it's a small town. So I just drove up to him. I said, "Hey, excuse me, do you know where Mamie White lives?" And he just looked at me with this cold look. He goes, "You're looking for Mamie White?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I am. Do you know where she lives?" And he just looked at me again really coldly and goes, "I hope you get the clap and your dick and balls fall off." And he rolled up his window. And that's when I learned how some of the people in the community thought about the White family.
You learned firsthand. You didn't know. You were just there doing a music piece.
A documentary. Yeah. So I ended up shooting all this footage of Jesco and Mamie a couple of weeks later, and that ended up leading to this documentary called The Dancing Outlaw that made Jesco into a cult icon. So.
Right. And then, of course, they loved you.
Yeah.
And did they ever find out you're Jewish? They're going to find out now.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, Mamie, I don't think they do, because Mamie loves to insult people, like when she's mad at them, and she'll find any excuse to insult them. And so if she knew I was Jewish, she, of course, would be insulting me that way, because they just love to...
How did she insult
How
you?
How could she not know you're Jewish?
Because they're... Because I, as one friend said, the map of Israel is tattooed on my face. But they have no concept of that there's really about Jews. So
they think Jews have long beards, maybe.
They have no idea. So there's a preacher lady that we interviewed at the very beginning of the movie. And we were trying to get these preachers. We had a section on religion that didn't end up in the movie, but it's a bonus feature. And all these preachers wouldn't talk to us because they're like, "I'm not getting associated with the whites. People won't come to my church if I'm associated." Finally, we got this preacher woman to agree to it, and so it was all like seriously like a CIA kind of operation. Like, she was like, "First, I'll meet you at a parking lot and talk to you before I decide if I do the interview." And so we meet at the parking lot of, I forget what it's called. It's like the worst version of a Walmart.
Well, yeah. Like everything's at the Walmart.
Target?
No. It's called like the Dollar Mart or something, but it's like really a third-rate Walmart. And she pulls in, and she's a really nice lady, and she starts talking to me, and she goes, She goes, what kind of church do you go to? I go, and I'm totally like swallowing my throat. I'm like, what do I say? I go, do I lie? And I just go, well, I actually don't go to church. She goes, what kind of church were you raised in? And I go, I wasn't raised in a church. And she goes, well, were you raised with any religion? And I go, yeah. And she goes, what was it? And I go, I'm Jewish. And she goes, Jewish? Oh, my God. I love Jews, and I love Israel. You're my first Jew. I've always wanted to meet one. I'm so excited. And she was so excited to meet a Jew, and she told me all sorts of interesting things. Like, I didn't, you know that she told me that Jesus was Jewish also.
There you go.
I was like, really?
Although you got rave reviews on your movie, from what I could read so far, you did get a pan from somebody who said your nose, he could park his car in your nose or something like that. I mean, he was upset about you being Jewish and making
the white
this
supremacist
movie because he is... he's a white supremacist.
Oh, yeah, we got a whole thing on Stormfront, the white supremacist.
Stormfront, that's right. That was it.
Yeah, which I can't believe we never got on Beastly Bombing because our main characters are all white supremacists.
Now, are the whites white supremacists or they don't really go into that?
No, the whites are confused, but they're not racist. It's like if you're from their community, they love you. Yeah. If you're from outside, they hate you no matter what. But
they're hillbillies.
They're total hillbillies. But it's really complicated because, like, they love the N-word, like, more than anything. You know, like, as much as they love any insulting term. So, like, once I asked Durkee, I said, Durkee, who do you think should be president? And he just goes, well, the best man, of course, the nigger. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
Is that racist or is that not racist? Well. I don't quite know. And he's, of course, the guy who has a Tupac poster on his wall, and that's his hero. And now he's dating a black girl. But he's still, like, you know, has a rebel flag on his wall, too. And, you know, so it's a kind of cognitive dissonance more than anything
else.
It's
a mixing of cultures, really. Yeah. It is, which everyone's doing. And they're doing it just in this extreme way because they do everything in an extreme way.
I find it to be uneducation.
Hmm?
Oh, I apologize.
You apologize?
I don't want to be, against the grain, but...
Oh, go against the grain, Cadence.
I just find it very strange to have these ideas, but put out these, not discrimination, but, what's the word?
When mayhem. You're into mayhem, from what I can see on this. And they're very emotional, like gangsters in any culture. In that, you know, they take offense at things. And that whole thing where he shot the guy in the neck. I mean, I wasn't quite sure what that was over.
It was over. He
was
traded
upset.
He traded a truck for a gun, and the truck died.
Okay, that's it's enough to shoot a guy in the face.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, the thing is, with badass like outlaw culture, is you don't back down even when you're wrong.
Right.
So he called him up and was like, you know, this truck died and you're a motherfucker. And he said, "Fuck you, come over here and say it to my face." You know, and then. And so it's just like a whole thing about you cannot back down. So like we'd actually have the whites try and start shit with us and be like, motherfucker, I hear you. And I'll just be like, I didn't say that, but I'm sorry if you thought I did. And they couldn't.
Were you apologizing a lot?
I would apologize. And they like had never had the experience of someone apologizing to them.
They didn't know how to react to that.
I don't think you heard me. I said you're a stupid motherfucker. And I'd be like, well, I'm sorry you think I'm that. Like, they'd be like, oh, you know, like. You know, it's the kind of thing like, you know, when people start a bar fight, like two guys, like they act like roosters. Like one comes up and it's like, quack, quack, and the other one's like, quack, quack, quack. And if the other one just goes, here's my belly, you know, they're like, oh.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to fight.
Were you ever in the middle of a fight? I mean, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. It's I don't know if it's going to be on the phone.
Were you filming in the middle of a fight?
Yeah, we are. We got a great fight that didn't end up in the movie.
Oh.
We're dirty.
Put on the website.
It might go on the website later, yeah.
Behind the scenes.
What? Yeah.
Like, put it in the special features?
It might be a bonus feature. I can't remember. We had so many. The movie's an hour and a half, and we have almost 2 hours of bonus features. So I don't know if it ended up on there. But it's a fight that just makes no sense, but is kind of genius.
So like how a lot would of you? Fights.
What, like a lot of fights.
Is it all boys or is it girls and boys?
Two boys. So if you watch my Hassel Atkins documentary, there's a 3-girl cat fight in that though.
There you go. Yeah, it is a matriarchal society, which just goes to show you when the women rule, it can still be violent. Absolutely. I mean, maybe even more violent.
I think that goes between both sexes.
I don't know.
It's just on different issues. Women tend to be more emotional, and men tend to go with their cock.
Mm. Well,
I've noticed since Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State, we have peace all the time now. She's just
solved right.
every
there
problem.
You go. Yeah.
We got out of Iraq and
I
Afghanistan.
I wanted her
to
be
started president, back with Condi, actually.
Condi.
Before was also.
Right, Condi was great. Another one.
Yeah. And Margaret Thatcher was just wonderful.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
But she wasn't really a woman. But anyway. So speaking of cock and sex, let's talk about the sex lives of these whites.
Okay.
Do you think they have more sex than regular people, or you think they have less, or you think
they definitely have a
fair
amount of sex.
What does sex mean in their culture?
It's pretty casual. It's pretty and often without birth control.
They have a lot of babies.
They have a lot of babies.
They do.
And
they do.
They're
on the dole a lot.
They are on. Yeah. They are on.
They're the welfare queens. The original welfare.
They are definitely the bad side of the disability and welfare culture. Yeah, they definitely know it and work it. Yeah.
Yeah, they work it. Yeah.
I mean, Mamie's...
Well, they work so many things. They con so many things. Why not the government?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Are they going to get in trouble from your movie?
I don't think so. I mean, like Sue Bob's back in prison right now. Kirk ended up back in jail, so...
Even before the movie came out, so you...
Well, they'd all been in and out before the movie came out, but since the movie came out, Kirk just went back to jail, unfortunately.
But are they using the movie against them, the prosecutors?
No. The thing is, it's small town. Like
everybody
knows each
anyway.
Other. Yeah, like the deputy we interviewed in the movie, he grew up across the street from Jesco.
Yeah.
Like, and they went to school together. It's like, you know, there was a story about D. Ray, who's the patriarch of the family, was fucked up, and like this cop started, you know, trying to pull him over, and D. Ray started on a high speed chase, and the cop just pulled over and like yelled, "D. Ray, I'll just stop by your house tomorrow and arrest you," because like where else is he gonna go?
Right.
You know, it's a small town.
I remember a little sexy part, or sort of a reference to sex that was interesting. It's the mother and son interview. And what's the son's name? He's kind of a good-looking guy, Durkee.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he's holding a bottle of pills, and he says, "Here's the mating call of Boone County."
Oh, yeah,
and he shakes the pills.
Yep.
And he does it in a very sexy way.
Wow.
The mating call. That
was
that's
God.
The Boone County mating call.
Yeah, that was great.
That was great. It was perfect. And I guess...
Durkee... I never got to film this. Durkee is all about being a redneck, and he's this really handsome, buff, like 21-year-old guy.
Would I want to bang him?
Yeah, you definitely would want to bang him.
Okay.
And Durkee said, "You know what the most redneck thing ever is? And I do it." And I was like, "What?" And do you guys all know what a ATV or four-wheeler is?
We know that much.
He goes. "I take chicks on my four-wheeler and I fuck them while I'm driving." And I was just like,
"Oh, Jesus Christ!
Cadence is in love."
And no, I am not.
And I was like, "Durkee, I will film that." I said, "You got to get a girl." And
did he do it?
And every time he would always
did he do it?
Something would always happen, and it would never happen.
Aww.
And because I was just like, and like my producers would be like, "Why are you filming that? What are you going to do with that? Is that for your personal use?" And I was like, someday in the future, people will look back on the beginning of the 21st century and they will marvel at Durkee fucking a chick on a four-wheeler.
Yes,
so
they will.
I needed to. So
and time capsule style?
Yeah. And when I talked to
him. You could film it tastefully.
When I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, he said he wanted to get into porn and asked me if I knew anybody to help him. So,
oh, well.
And Kirk, when I first met her, was asking about getting into porn.
Kirk
too.
Is a woman, we yeah. should say, and she's sort of a, she's an interesting woman.
She used to
she's
be a
kind
stripper.
Of sexy, but so messed up.
Yeah.
You know, she just looks so strung out most of the time.
Yeah.
But she's got a sexiness about her. And
like that hopeless drug addict type style?
No, she just has a nice body. Yeah, yeah, she's a hopeless drug addict. I guess you could say she is, but with a nice bod. I mean, they have some well-built people in the family, but they all kind of go to shit at around age 30, I guess.
In the 30s, yeah. No, she used to, when she was in jail one point, she used to write me full-on what she called freak letters,
yeah.
which were like dirty letters. And even a few weeks ago, like her boyfriend wasn't around, and she was like, I'm here with this other girl, talk to her. And then like I would talk to some other girl who's like in her house, and she'd be like, we both want to get our freak on with you. We do you together.
Ooh.
And she'd be like totally telling me the stuff, and I'd be like, you know.
Yeah.
Tempted, but no, it's all trouble, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is a big trouble.
That mating call.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, what is she snorting in that hospital scene? She.
They're mostly into what they call painters and pain
Oxycontin?
Pills. Oxycontin, Xanaxes.
Well, that's
pain
benzos.
Pills. And see, this is where the movie, I mean, just the word pain, the movie is kind of serious, in even though it's like full of rollicking, crazy, wild fun. It's about how the pain of living in this coal mining area that is just destitute, you know, is spawns a family like the Whites.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pain, and so they're taking a lot of painkillers. I mean, coal mining is just this evil industry.
Yeah,
you know,
like loggers.
Like bloggers?
Loggers. Loggers. Loggers.
I'd say it's more evil than bloggers is more evil than coal mining.
Come on. Loggers. Like, they have these towns built around logging.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
I mean,
yeah,
it's basically, it's a monoculture. Like, they make sure nothing, the coal companies make sure nothing else develops, so no one has opportunities. That's Kirk right there when she got clean. You can see her there.
And I think that the coal mining occupation is much more dangerous than logging. I mean, logging's bad for the environment, and coal mining
and bad
is bad
for the bonobos in Africa.
Well, and logging is bad for the bonobos in Africa, certainly, and bad for the environment, bad for the.
So there you can see her kitten.
But coal mining is bad for the coal miners.
I'm not attracted.
No.
No.
Let's get back to Johnny Knoxville.
Once
well,
you
that shot doesn't show her boobs here.
She does. She showed me her boobs on our first shoot, and they were really impressive.
There they are. She looks a little better there. You
That's
know.
All right.
Jesus Christ, people.
Yeah, huh? Well, this is America. This is a section of America. This is a subculture.
This is a
part
big part
of the American family.
Yeah, I mean, there's people, a lot of people go like, West Virginia, and it's like, there's people like that in San Bernardino, there's people like the Whites in North Hollywood, you know?
Well, yeah.
I mean, there's people like the Whites everywhere in America.
Yeah, but I mean, people will think West Virginia inbreds.
Well,
I mean, in regular culture.
Do they inbreed? Are they having sex with each other in the
no.
family?
No.
No? You sure?
No.
I mean, they're all last name. Their last name is White, everyone.
I didn't do any DNA test to check, but the funny thing is the Whites are like the number one criminal family in Boone County, the number two criminal family, the Greens. So
really?
Yeah.
Wow. How about color?
So so Mousy's husband, Charlie, is Charlie Green. So she's like, her name is Mousy White Green.
Interesting.
Mousy White Green.
And the best is Durkee isn't a White. His father, his last name is Castle. So he's Durkee White Castle. So
interesting. Wow.
Are you going to do more?
On the Whites?
Yeah.
Maybe in like 8 years or something, but it's pretty wearing. Like,
what's your next documentary then?
I'm right now writing a movie for HBO, and actually am about to write a TV series for HBO. So.
All right.
What is that?
Can we know? Is it top secret?
Sure. It's The movie is about a wrestler from the 50s named Sputnik Monroe, who is a bad guy wrestler.
Sputnik
Monroe.
Good name.
And basically...
named just after the Russian satellite?
Well, right, yep. Probably, yeah. That, well, I'll give you then the longer version. Basically, he was a guy who grew up in Kansas. Family was all boxers and were very physically violent. And never hugged him or kissed him. And the only person who ever loved him was... he had a black nanny who, like, gave him all the love. So that's who he associated with. He ended up coming out of World War II becoming a wrestler because, basically, you know, his only skill in life was beating people up and pissing them off. Mm. They need a new bad guy in the South. He goes down to the South with a black buddy of his, walks into this wrestling ring with his arm around the guy's shoulder, and everyone starts calling him nigger lover. And he's totally disgusted, but... he's a guy who likes to get a rise out of people. So while the other wrestlers are wrestling, he keeps walking out with his buddy and kissing him. And everyone goes crazy. And this one woman actually jumped up and yelled, "Look at the way he revolves around that goddamn nigger like a goddamn Sputnik." And everyone started calling him Sputnik. And just like there would be a bad Russian wrestler who would, in the 50s, to get everyone angry, he became the bad pro-integration wrestler.
Gotcha.
So every cracker would show up hating his guts, wanting to see him get his ass kicked, and every black person would come to support him because they loved him. And eventually he could outsell Elvis in Memphis. And when he had that financial power, he started refusing to wrestle places that weren't integrated.
Frank Sinatra Excellent. And Sammy Davis Jr.?
More like, except wrestling and...
I remember when I was younger, like 15, reading about how he would beat them up afterward, but being called a nigger lover.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, not that I agree with this, but, I mean, I remember reading how much, antagonism it brought up. Yeah. Even though Sammy Davis Jr. was the only black in the Rat Pack, quote unquote.
Yeah, I mean, Sputnik was in the Deep South, and people tried to lynch him. They tried to shoot him. They tried to stab him. They did all that stuff.
You like people like that. You like
it
people
seems
that,
like it.
You know, raise a lot of ruckus. And
they're more entertaining than people who sit around and, you know, smoke too much pot and can't get out of bed.
Well, it seems like he's a documentarian then, right?
Well, he is a documentarian. But also you are creative, and, I mean, he wrote an operetta. You know, it was kind of like a documentary, but on the Bush years. But it was great, and there was a documentary actually that we made with his singers, showing them singing amongst the beautiful porn stars.
Oh yeah, right.
Squirting.
That was a great scene.
And screwing. And on Eros Day, it was really quite a scene.
Jesse Merlin got squirted on.
Yes, yes, and he was very excited about
he said,
that.
He said that was the day he definitely went from bisexual to fully gay. So.
And, very nice.
And the president was portrayed in a gay manner, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so...
I like the priest a lot.
The priest,
yeah, that,
yes,
yeah,
yes, the child molesting priest
was
very funny.
Scene.
So you're just very versatile, but always dealing with outrageous people, I guess. You like you like different types of outrageous killers.
I like,
People that raise a ruckus, and you're the scribe, and that's why you win a VibraPen.
Oh, my lordy.
Come on.
Okay. And
no, but you know what?
You win a VibraPen.
Oh, thank you very much.
Everyone's a winner on the Dr. Seuss Block Show.
No, but...
that's right. Now, I want
I mean,
to
I
know
think it's important to cover all cultures,
and
subcultures,
everything.
I mean, whether I agree with their beliefs or whatnot, I mean, it's part of life. So, it's very...
Amen
I think
and
it's
a
important.
Women. And Julian is, you know, kind of brave, just like going into cover the Iraq war, going into cover the whites.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you never know when you're going to get shot in a situation like that. It's
well, we got 8 death threats while making it, so.
Very nice. So. See? And that's, I think that when people oppose it, it's always worth putting out because people need to see this.
Now, speaking of death...
Can I ask just a question?
Yeah.
How did the sheriff and the... I saw the prosecutors kind of laughing, and were they somewhat upset that here are these criminals and they're getting a documentary and they are getting nothing?
Oh, totally. Like, yeah. the law enforcement people...
Like... Why are you doing this?
Would just be like, yeah, like they would be like, what the, why are you doing this? You really, why? You know, like, because they felt like not only that, it also made the whites bigger in the community.
Yeah,
which they don't want.
Been stars.
Like, more legendary, more.
Like Jesse James.
Yeah, and that's.
Yeah.
And that's how they see themselves. Like, you'll be driving in the car with them, and they'll just be like, fuck you, cops, Bonnie and Clyde! You know, and that's, you know, who they see themselves as, so.
Yeah, and I guess they didn't see it like they would get information, you know, from the movie because they already had the information.
Yeah, and the thing is, the whites are more clever than the cops in lots of ways.
They are clever people.
Like, name me one
They're
point.
They're bred for that.
Well, the cops in general aren't that bright.
The ones, the whites that aren't that bright, I guess, die early, you know.
Yeah, and Mamie basically got in trouble for something. They said, if you turn witness for us and wear a wire... we'll drop the charges. And so she said, oh, of course I'll do that. And and so she wore the wire. And then, very early on, maybe it was right before the trial, she was with the cop who was supposed to, who'd set her up. And she starts just going, stop touching my boobs. Why are you trying to take my breath?
Oh, my God.
And he's like, whoa, 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 no, I'm not. He's like, yes, you are. Get your hands off my boobs right now. And it all went on the wire. And suddenly, and she was like, I'm going to testify in court that you tried to fuck me. And the prosecutor immediately, she'd already signed the thing, like dropping the charges against her, and basically didn't force her to testify in court against one of her family members.
Great.
That's mine.
Very clever.
That's great. Yeah.
So.
Well, it's quite a subculture there. The wild and wonderful whites of West Virginia.
Yes.
Yes, and I'm sure the law enforcement is particularly perturbed about that word wonderful that's in there. That's pretty, you know, unequivocal.
We were at the Memphis Film Festival we were showing, and we had this thing where this one group of people hated the movie so much, and they kept screaming at me. At one point, this guy literally got up and starts going, they're not wonderful. They're not wonderful at all. Why'd you call them wonderful? And he didn't quite get that this West Virginia state slogan, when you drive in, it says, welcome to West Virginia, wild and wonderful.
Ah, there you are, wild and wonderful.
So
now, I got this as a birthday present last Saturday. Do you want to try this? Do you try interesting alcohol?
What is
this?
This
is snake alcohol. it's got a real snake inside of it.
Okay.
This is from Thailand.
Okay.
I just thought this was something like the whites might drink.
Or get a tattoo of.
Yeah. and
the snake
actually
on my
has
stomach?
Another snake in his mouth.
Really?
He's killing another snake.
Like a don't tread on me kind of thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's pretty serious stuff. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Say when.
That sounds good.
Okay. Here you go.
Am I the only one drinking it?
No.
Yes.
Cadence.
Oh, I am so not drinking that.
Are you drinking it?
Yes, you are.
I guess
you're
so.
The one who brought it out.
I guess so. It's my birthday drink. How did I do this?
So, this is from Thailand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
You guys are crazy.
L'chaim.
L'chaim.
Ooh. Snake blood.
Ooh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, you taste the snake blood?
Mm-hmm. He likes it.
Like some more?
It definitely has a snakey flavor.
A snakey flavor. It's
What? What makes the snakey flavor, though? Mm.
The snake?
There's a...
No, come on.
Two
like,
snakes.
What's the taste? I mean, if I'm not going to drink it, I need to hear about it.
Okay, you want some?
No.
Why? It's just alcohol with snake in it. It's not even one of our sponsors.
I like playing with snakes. I love them very much.
I'll bring up my snake later.
Yes, I love him.
Evie. We would never put Evie in a bottle like this. No, we love Evie.
But I'm not drinking that. It looks crazy.
You're looking at it with lust.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at you with lust.
Ooh. Well, drink me, baby.
I'll have a little more.
Hell yeah. Oh,
are you sure you don't want any, Caden?
Yes, I'm positive. Oh,
you, want to, you don't want to smell it, at least?
No.
Have smell a smell.
Snake. Smell alcohol?
With snake.
See?
It smells like whiskey with snake in it. Awesome.
There you go. What's wrong with that?
And this is like
don't you drink Jägermeister?
Yeah. I'm drinking right
that's
now.
That's much more vicious stuff than whiskey with snake in it.
Or tequila with mezcal.
See, it works with me because it's a natural diuretic, or an unnatural diuretic.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Mm. This probably is, too.
That probably
Oh, my God. Yeah, because you'll puke all day next day.
This is like mezcal for real men who don't want just a little worm but want to go for the whole fucking snake. Right?
You know, there you go. I mean,
how can
at a certain point, we will have the snake, and I'm going to invite you over to eat it up.
Okay, thank you.
You're going to eat a snake?
I've eaten snake.
The snake in here. No,
yeah, I've actually
at Chinese
snake.
Restaurants, yeah.
Actually,
we had snake
you
when
guys
we
are
stayed
all
at the Farmer's Daughter Hotel.
Right, that's right.
Have you ever stayed there?
No,
it's in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's a great hotel. There's a room with mirrors on the ceiling.
Is that what you did for your birthday?
It's kind of a hillbilly.
Yeah, it's very
romantic
hillbilly.
Room,
yeah.
As a matter of fact. It ties in with tonight's theme of hillbilly chic.
That's right.
Chic, you know, and this is like a farmer's...
Farmer's daughter.
But how did
here.
The snake end up in the farmer's daughter motel?
I'm trying to get that connection.
Because they got a restaurant there that sells
snake. Oh, that's
snake.
Right. They have the restaurant. Yes.
Really?
Yeah,
tart,
really.
Tart,
yeah, tart
restaurant.
The tart
snake?
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, they
I'm wearing a snake.
Yeah.
Years ago, I
can see that. It's in your bosom.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I interviewed...
buddies, me and the whoop. Snake.
Years ago,
I interviewed Liz Renee. Do you know who she is? She was Mickey Cohen's girlfriend, the head of
okay.
L.A. Mob.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah,
and and she also wrote a great book that I can't believe... You don't know. It's called My First 2,000 Men. And she talks all about she slept with like Tony Curtis, Frank Sinatra.
Wow, I gotta have her on the show.
Well, yeah,
she's dead. She died a few years ago.
But
she always stayed at the farm.
Have a seance for
her. She stayed at the farm.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, and she starred in Desperate Living, the John Waters movie.
Mm.
So,
well, we'll have to have him on the show.
Yep.
And maybe we'll have
Hasn't
our
Johnny Knoxville
audience member,
had
our
John
famous
Waters?
Celebrity audience member on the
had
show.
Had him sexually
you think
or
it's been time to inquire. If our
Johnny Knoxville
she's right over there. I can see her
all
from
right.
far
and
away.
Johnny Knoxville is
she's waving.
It's come over
no, he's
it.
Not.
Yeah, here she comes.
No.
Yeah,
here
all
comes
right.
Veronica Hart.
Oh my God,
Veronica Hart.
Well, he likes pussy, but he loves being gay.
Okay,
can
what
somebody
an
help Veronica
I
with
hate
the
you.
Microphone stuff and headsets?
Can Yay!
Is this headset okay?
Yeah, that's you can use that if you
can
hear from that.
That headset is good.
Yeah. Okay.
So, what about the mountaintop removal? That's what I wanted to know about. Annie Sprinkles. You guys are big friends and fans of Annie.
We've known Annie
for many years.
She's about sexicology and their big thing. They're going to go do a whole...
That's too low, Mar. Up.
A whole thing on the mountaintop removal in West Virginia.
Annie Sprinkles doing it?
Yeah.
What
you
is
bet,
doing?
With Beth Stevens, her wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know about this.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we actually
sexicology. Mar. That's what they are. Sexicology.
I was hoping
that's
to tie
movement.
In sex a little more to this West Virginia wild wonderfulness.
Just turn it.
Just keep me on Johnny Knoxville.
I
will bang him all
you are so
night
hot
long.
For Johnny Knoxville.
Oh yeah.
Will you help
hot
him put
damn.
His catheter up his penis?
Oh sure. You know, if it'll get him off, hey.
Does he need a catheter to pee pee?
He when he was doing a stunt for the Evel Knievel special, he did this
wiener,
flip on
huh?
a motorcycle and some part of the motorcycle went up his wiener, and I don't know if he has to still do it, but he would come out of the bathroom and be
How
like waving his catheter
injuries
around.
Really?
One
of the few guys that can
like
make a catheter sexy.
So yeah.
Oh yeah. I'll make it sexy.
Because he had to put it up there so that the scar tissue wouldn't seal his pee-pee hole.
Mm. So. Let's find out some other intimate details
be
about
able to
Johnny
make that
Knoxville.
Hot,
yes.
Right? You know, grease
I'm down with that.
Is he
married
or single?
Jam it in.
Yeah, is he married?
He had a baby a few months ago with his awesome girlfriend. So.
Oh, he didn't have the baby.
Okay.
Oh, she had the baby.
She had the baby. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's why he needs the cat.
They're not married, so
not
it doesn't
married.
Matter.
Yeah.
Okay, I knew you'd find a way.
Yes.
And what about the thug life boyfriend? Is he okay with that?
I think you'd be okay with Johnny Knoxville, honestly. Okay.
He'd do it.
What about Steve-O?
No.
No, why not Steve-O?
Steve-O's not as attractive or cool.
Oh, that's so unfair to Steve-O.
Poor
Steve-O. I'm sorry.
That's her standard.
I mean, the hook in the mouth is, I have to admit, is kind of cool.
Yeah.
That he can take some pain, but he would be my slave, whereas Johnny Knoxville would be...
Your God.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
you know what? Johnny Knoxville is a celebrity who is not here.
Mm-hmm.
We have one here. Veronica Hart.
Who's hot. I am in awe of you for getting your movie done, man.
Oh, thank you.
I think that's totally
cool.
She's
so sweet. I keep trying to talk about her, and she keeps putting it over to talk about you.
So how did you get this whole thing financed? Did he come in with money for you?
Johnny Knoxville paid for our first shoot. Then we went and took it to MTV. MTV paid for it. Then when they saw the movie, they were so disgusted, they sold it to Tribeca.
Really? Wow.
Okay.
They sold it to Robert De Niro.
I'm trying to get financing right now for my movie.
Too disgusting for MTV.
Yeah, so they sold it to Robert De
Niro's
company.
Can you imagine anything being too disgusting for MTV? You know, congratulations.
Thank you, Veronica.
Fucking rocks.
That's great.
It's a great movie.
Proud of.
It's not playing anymore. There it is.
I'd love to see it.
You live here in town?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Documentaries are notoriously bad paying. And, you know, if you can do that and stick with it, God bless you, man.
Yeah.
It's their documentaries are like a works of love.
Absolutely.
You've
got
to really be dedicated to it, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, Michael Moore is the only one who makes money off of them.
Say what, honey?
Michael Moore.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, another one, Super Size Me, that wasn't his, but I know that one made an awful lot of money, and I think there was another one about eating or something like that, Food Inc. or something, that made money.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's very, very seldom. And, and you're at the Lumley, so that rocks.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
No, he's doing great. Tribeca Film Festival.
Wow.
You know, he's a Tribeca boy.
Yeah.
I was in a room with Robert De Niro.
That's great.
What was he doing in the room?
Now,
he was banging a black chick.
He
likes black chicks.
Yeah, okay.
Who doesn't?
I know. But, I mean, he has a fetish for black chicks,
okay.
I guess.
Yeah, right.
I'm very upset about this because I would bang Robert De Niro now.
You would.
Now, listen, okay, I've been listening to you, and I'm hearing you bang a lot now.
I'm sorry. Okay, have sex with.
I heard a story.
Bad, nasty.
And it was a friend of a friend, but Robert De Niro picked her up. And they were hanging. They went on a date or something. And they were making out in the elevator on the way up to his loft.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh my God, you're a beautiful, beautiful, hot black woman. Yes, you are." And she was like, "I'm not black."
Mm.
He's like, "I'm Italian."
Asian.
and he's like, "No, you are black." And she was
so
like,
he can
"I'm
make
not."
You black, Cadence.
That's funny.
And basically,
I'm the whitest girl ever. But
he could make you black. If he drank this snake juice.
I'm not
like
going
to
drink
no,
that.
But I would love to see it. Because I
would
think
like
it's just the most...
It?
Do you want to smell it?
I mean, okay. Robert De Niro is one of the most masculine actors.
Everyone,
oh my God, he was telling me
meet
about
the parents
art.
Is so sexy.
Oh my God.
Oh, that is just...
Well, no, him and Al Pacino in a little Caden sandwich.
Yes. I'd like to see that.
Yes.
I'd like to see you banging anybody, actually.
You're
so adorable.
Yeah.
I have. And she is even
Isn't
more adorable.
Isn't she just,
yeah.
Is she cute? I love her.
Yeah.
You could melt in everybody's mouth.
I mean, these are not topics I usually talk about on Susie, but, you know.
Which one? Appalachian chic or
banging?
Banging, you always talk about.
No, I talk about, you know, hot Asians and but
oh right
I mean we're talking about very white men
white
and
men are good dark
Al Pacino
men are good.
And Robert De Niro, you know, have you seen Righteous Kill?
No, I haven't.
You know, they're old, they're like
men,
like
men are good.
60s
men, oh
how
like
old are
men.
They
men. Aged
like 60s?
Men are good.
Yep. Really?
I like them. I like them. You know, there's all this cougar stuff.
You hear that, Max? You're walking away. She's talking
about older men.
I love men
who have age on them. I love men that are men that have been around and know some stuff.
Well,
they're not all ready to just hop on you and pop. They're ready to stick around and take you to the moon.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a thing for Mick Jagger and David Bowie, too.
Bowie.
I mean, man. Like, there's a few older men that I would totally fucking...
You know, like, men my age are pretty good, and they're pretty fucking old now, too, so they're pretty hot.
Okay, so that's 40?
Yeah, try about 53.
Mm. Right on. No way.
Oh, yeah, way. Absolutely.
She's the miracle woman.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she looked... There's a lot of us
out there. Have you seen Annie lately? Oh. Annie looks amazing. Candida Royale. She's awesome.
Oh, that
Gloria's
sex.
Still around. Gloria.
Yeah, sex gets you young.
All us gals from Club 90, we're still out there. Ginger's still in the business. Ginger Lynn's still doing
Ginger
it.
Ginger Lynn. Amber. She was here when the cops
Amber's
came in.
Yeah, remember right. That night.
That was our raid. The night
you got raided
Ginger
with Ginger?
Lynn was here. Not in this
She's
building.
She's so
but
naughty. Was she being really nasty?
Yeah, I've seen her, and I'm like... Oh God!
They just chose to investigate us that night,
right?
And they didn't charge us with anything because nothing was happening. They actually came in before the show started, but she was the guest for the night.
A lot,
and I think they just wanted to see her.
Oh sure,
you know,
she's got so many fans. A lot of guys come around. A lot of cops come around our shoots, you know, because we're posted.
Are you still shooting stuff?
We pull for
permits
and stuff.
Yeah, you're still shooting.
Yeah, well, I don't direct. You know, I haven't pushed to direct. I've kind of did my shot my wad. I've done all the things
so
I need
speak.
To. Yeah.
You shot
no,
the wad.
I mean,
yeah,
but I
PM, I production manage a lot of shoots, stuff like that.
Mm. Yeah. But you're not on camera anymore?
As I said earlier, you're one of the ones that look fucking young.
Aww.
Like,
no, I'm just happy. I'm happy to be alive. I've got a good life.
And you don't do on camera anymore?
I do. I just don't fuck on camera.
What do you do on
camera?
What do
you do?
I still.
She could act in your next movie.
All right.
Yes. We'll do a documentary on porn.
I'll take this
a real
Sputnik.
One.
No. I will pretend to take this Sputnik.
Oh my God. I remember my mother saying, hey, I remember seeing Sputnik, and I'm like, oh my God, you didn't see it. All right? Like, just don't act like you did.
Now, speaking of documentaries on porn, it's not exactly a documentary, but it's a famous movie on porn, Boogie Nights. Mm-hmm. And Veronica is the inspiration for the character Amber Waves.
Really? And you know, which was so weird, because
yes.
I know PTA's a fan. It's lovely. He was a fan and everything, and he
Paul
was looking
Thomas
for me.
Anderson.
And Ron Jeremy turned him on to me. Ronnie found me and everything. And he's so lovely. He said he would never have me play a hooker or a porn star or anything. I ended up playing the judge.
She's
in, that,
in the movie as
in
the
Boogie
judge.
Yeah.
I remember that. Wow.
That's funny. And he was a real sweetie. He was a real sweetie. He did kind of, Paul, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but he did kind of fuck Ron Jeremy over. Ron worked with Paul Thomas Anderson. Oh. Can I not say that?
No, you can say that.
Right.
Yeah, but he did. He worked with Paul for over a year, took him to all our events and our shows. He took him to one of my, I was directing a shoot for Adam and Eve, and all the guys came down, Mark Wahlberg and some of the guys. I don't think Bill came down to that shoot, but a lot of the guys came down and like hung out on the set to see how it was and everything while I was directing. And He cut him out of the movie. I mean, instead of giving him a part, he did a little silly thing at the end in jail that was kind of not scripted, and it didn't make the movie. And I just thought that was just bad form.
That's strange.
I actually looked up Ron recently on...
One-Eyed Monster.
Ron was here last week.
Did you guys see One-Eyed Monster? Me and Ronnie were...
He was here for my birthday last week.
I mean,
he plays the piano whenever he comes here. He plays my great-grandmother's
Steinway
baby grand.
That's great.
You should
very
do a documentary
talented.
On the porn industry. Ron Jeremy
He's
playing piano, all that stuff.
I can play the skin flute.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
That's not a real instrument. No, I was really impressed with all the stuff he's done. I mean,
he's not just a pianist. He's a pianist.
Yes.
That's what I meant by a 12-inch penis. Do you know that joke?
It was kind of interesting because I saw Mark Wahlberg at Target the next week.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, what the hell is going on? Like, you don't...
He's a good actor. Mark Wahlberg is a very good actor.
Have you seen The Lovely Bones?
Like, no, I haven't seen that one.
It's a new one, and it's amazing. Like, I was sitting there going...
I think he's a fine actor. I think he does.
I mean,
let's go back to the whites.
The whites, and mountaintop removal in West Virginia.
Named Bran, who has questions about the whites. Mm.
Who?
Woohoo!
Yes. Okay, yes.
I made a bunch of people here at Block Studios watch The Wild and Wonderful Whites. I didn't insist you watch the whole thing, but just the first 5 minutes.
I didn't watch it.
Now. Everybody watched the whole thing. And Bran
very happy about
it twice.
Yeah. Bran, documentaries.
Bran is a big fan.
I actually watched it like 3-4 times.
Oh my god!
Like that.
Oh my
but
god!
Yeah, no, I thought it was great, and I saw something like a couple things on actually the fan page on Facebook because I'm a nerd and I totally trolled everything about
that's awesome
the whites
yeah
and so
and we have a website wildandwonderfulwhites.com
oh there I'm aware
on Twitter
but yeah I was just asking I wanted to ask about Mamie's thumb.
A lot of people seem to be asking about Mamie was in some kind of fight and like breaking up a fight. She usually break up a fight and she was walking out of this room and there was a steel door, and suddenly, somehow in this fight, the steel door closed on her thumb and cut part of her thumb off. So the nerves are... If you haven't seen the movie, she's always got this white cloth over, like a bandage over her thumb. And so she always has to wear that because the nerves actually are, like, you know...
Exposed
and raw. Yeah. She's feeling the phantom pains.
That's so gnarly.
Mamie is... She's 56 years old. I mean, like, we would be out with her, and around 2 in the morning, like, me and my crew would be like, we got to go home. We're be? Like, she's drinking and snorting pills and having the dancing. And and we'd be like, we got to go to sleep, Mamie.
Yeah,
and she'd be like,
so
pussies. and she's not only that, she's got diabetes, and one of her legs is bad.
Really?
Yeah, she's got diabetes, and her doctor, this is the coolest thing ever, her doctor said... I asked Mamie, I was like, can you drink? And she goes, yeah, my doctor said I can't drink except Corona.
I'm a diabetic too, and I can't usually drink anything, but
Corona.
Every time I come,
did you meet the doctor?
I did not meet the doctor, and not only that, apparently it's really good if you pour like half a salt shaker into the Corona. It's better for diabetes. And then basically, like, she'd be till 4 a.m. Like, we'd leave at 2, 4 a.m., she'd still be going. And at 9 a.m., like, we'd all be burnt out, you know. And 9 a.m., the door, like, at our hotel room, bonk, 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 bonk. And it'd be like, well, who is it? Mamie, let's get up and shoot. Let's have some breakfast. And we'd be like, you're a superhuman, though.
So. Wow.
Did she have a sex
drugs,
partner?
Huh?
Mamie's boyfriend is Billy, who got shot in the face.
Oh, that's her boyfriend.
That's been her boyfriend for 20
years. He's a tough
year.
Guy. He got shot in the face 3 times. And he's
and
like,
what? And is, what is
yeah,
his face
Yeah, he's
like
totally...
Pretty bad, but,
right.
you know...
He's like totally...
That's amazing.
Man, he's in there, he's going, I got shot here, and you know, oh, this part of my face was taken out of here.
I know that's one guy who shot himself in the face and took his ear off, took his eye out.
See, I knew you were right for this show, Katie.
Oh, my God. Where did you grow up?
I knew this.
In Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Like, see, there are whites everywhere.
I'm very jealous of the gun laws there, by the way. But, like, he has... Like half a brain.
Cadence is becoming whiter every moment.
No. I am very white, but I mean, I tend to be very liberal as well.
You are. You're wonderful.
Very white.
Wild and wonderful cadence, yes.
And I mean, he was like half retarded. Mm. I mean, how does this person survive without, you know, fucking up? Like, I mean, he's... half retarded with one bullet.
Yeah.
And this guy has three.
Yeah. Well, Billy missed the brain. When they shot Billy, they never got near the brain. So.
No, it's in okay.
Yeah, took out like his jaw and like.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, looks very.
You know, nothing's bad.
Veronica, just jelly-like. His jaw. You know.
So his brain is still working, he's deformed.
He's totally. He actually looks great.
He looks that bad.
He looks pretty good.
Yeah. For being shot,
really? For being shot three times.
Would I want to bang him
in the face?
Oh yeah, he doesn't look too.
I gotta say.
I don't think you'd want to bang
someone's
him,
if someone's going to
shoot, it could have hurt.
If someone's going to shoot me, I'd like it to be Brandon, because obviously he's not too good at killing someone.
Poor Brandon.
No. Yeah, Brandon's very sweet.
You have these interviews with him in the prison, or the jail, I guess.
That's Jerky Cadence. Oh, you did. In a second, you'll see him.
Oh, okay.
That's Cadence's next boyfriend.
No.
There he is.
Oh, there he is. There's Durky. He's going to now.
He's going to take his gun out.
He's going to take his gun out, yeah.
Okay, no. No. No.
Yeah,
not for me.
Look at that cock in there.
Yeah, because I can do my own. He has a lever action there. Yeah. I mean, how hard is that?
Well,
he totally does look like can. Look like a Calvin Klein model, like that kind of handsome.
Yeah, no, he's a good-looking guy.
I mean, all of them are really good-looking when they're young. Like Subob, if you look on our website, you see
Subob.
Yeah, Subob.
Well, Billy Joe said Subob and Daddy.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Subob was really beautiful when she was in her 20s. So
yeah,
I'm trying not to be discriminatory.
People. They just
at
destroy
all.
Themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life
and there's
them.
Look there. Durky can give you your next tattoo, Cadence.
There you go. He's doing it right.
Yeah, my thug
right
life.
There.
I'll just get it redone.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah, this is a great scene. Like everybody.
Maybe you should get a straight
like
out of Compton tattoo
and
next.
Talking and tattooing.
Actually, I lived in Inglewood for 6 months.
There you go.
And it was the best neighborhood ever because everybody minded their own business.
Uh huh.
I moved up to Van Nuys after. And nobody minds their business. Like, I have a girl come over to shoot, whatever, just photos even.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's just like, oh, what is she doing? What? Like, we need to look in the windows, like, everything. And I'm like, okay, get your pit bulls out and say, have a nice day, instead of fucking telling me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love Inglewood. It's an amazing neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
It's the most peaceful neighborhood
so
I've lived in.
So you want
a
straight out of Inglewood tattoo?
Thank you very much. No, it's just that was the most amazing neighborhood because everybody had their own crimes.
Van Nuys tattoo?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I moved to a better neighborhood supposedly.
The Valley?
Yeah.
You might as well move to West Virginia.
Oh, come on. No, I mean, supposedly
no,
it's better.
Very civilized.
It is.
Not a lot of shootings.
No.
Although there's been a few.
Sherman Oaks.
One too many.
Sherman Oaks is a nice neighborhood.
I live in Lake Balboa.
Yeah.
That's like
I mean, it's supposed to be a nice neighborhood, but Inglewood was just... Oh, my God. That's like Inland Empire.
Right. Yeah. No, it's just down on the 5. Yeah, and it's tough out there.
Okay,
said, so
nobody
Balboa
can see me
good.
Shaking my head, but Pacoima's awful.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You live in a nice place.
Yeah.
I suppose you live in a nice place.
Yeah, right
but
on.
People won't mind their own business. They live in L.A. County.
That's how they keep their neighborhood straight. You
safe.
So they're
straight.
All in your business and saying, don't you fuck up my neighborhood.
Right.
We went to shoot a location there.
No naked people
and
here.
And they applied for a permit and everything, and they got shut down.
Mm.
They had been reported too many times for renting out to people like us that were doing pornography. And that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but see, that's why.
I mean, the whole neighborhood was up in arms over this.
People don't apply for permits. They just get fined.
Where? In Inglewood?
No. In the Valley.
No, there is that. No, we all.
I mean,
we all
the first time I did porn, I got shut down by the police.
Really?
Immediately.
Did you get paid though?
Who did you work for though?
I can't say that.
Okay. Right.
But
a lot of
they get fined $2,500.
We usually
and.
Well, you do.
I was 24.
You know,
and
up and up people.
They were like, oh, you're underage. We have to see your IDs from blah, 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 blah. And they got my IDs out from years before, and finally I was let go. I was put into the makeup chair and interrogated.
Wow.
Ooh. And that was my first porn experience.
Oh, my God, honey. I'm so glad you stuck
kinky.
Around.
Oh, my God. No, the cops were fucking assholes. All vice. They were like, in plain clothes. And I was like, okay,
the cops
I'm
are usually really
24
cool
years
if
you, old.
The cops are usually really cool if you're just like straight up with them. I mean, they've come to my sets all the time and everything, but we usually have permits and stuff, so it's like they want to come and they want to hang out and they want to see
right.
the girls, and then
yeah.
they just check right. us out and kind of leave. The same way with the fire marshals and everything. They're usually very cool.
I just felt like it was, okay, this girl's in porn. We need to take a picture and put her in a file.
No, you know, listen. I've been arrested 23 times. Okay,
seriously?
So
yes.
yeah, you know, I'm the most prosecuted publisher in the fucking country, right?
I know you've done time,
yeah.
but I had no idea about 23 times.
I've spent 3 years
arrested
in prison.
23 times.
I've been arrested 23
but
times.
Only busted.
They were only able to convict me
right.
twice. Once was for conspiracy.
The other
and
was
the
for
other
failure,
one for
to
failure to appear.
What year was this?
All right.
On wow.
10 years ago, failure to appear 10 years ago. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, they're just, as you said, they're just really, it's not mean or anything. It's just, it's very unusual. They want to see, they want to meet people. I mean, I started.
There's a certain level of meanness.
Well,
I haven't. I haven't really run into them. I never. I mean, I've been.
Yeah.
I haven't been busted ever. I've not been busted. When I got pickpocketed, I was walking down the streets in New York with my child in my arms, and somebody lifted a wallet, and I can't believe there was a cop behind me that actually nabbed the fucker right away, which was great. I was like, oh, thank God. So I had to go down to the, you have to bring, like, you give them a dollar for evidence, and I went down to make my report, and everybody was going, hey, Veronica, what are you in for? You know?
Now, what about
in
your early days
that was
of porn?
Early,
that
early
was
days.
In the early
yeah.
days.
Yeah.
And
I used to do live sex shows, and then I know they used to do raids and stuff on that, but I always slip between the cracks.
Where did you do
cracks.
Live
That's a good
sex
one.
Shows? Where did you do live sex shows? Here in L.A.?
No. And in New York. Avon
New York.
7, The Doll, and the Bryant Theater
wow.
in New York.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
And what would you do in a life? You would have sex with a partner?
I would certainly do that.
Wow.
No, you go out and for about 10 minutes and you do a little strip
like a nightclub,
first.
Yeah.
No, it's not a nightclub. You're on a stage.
It's just
and there's all these guys in the audience, and it's great. They're usually got their dicks out and they're jerking off, hopefully, if you're any good.
Yeah.
If you're not any good, they're like, you know, yawning or passed out.
Yeah.
But hopefully they're there stroking and you dance and you do a little thing, and then you know, then your partner, it's like, you know, it's kind of like our movies, head, three positions and a pop. But you can't do it 6 times a day. You cannot physically pop 6 times a day. So, you know,
well,
you learn to.
Yeah, the guy can.
Oh.
Come on.
No,
tell
man.
Me.
The first time. Okay, so.
I remember seeing on like Midnight Blue an interview with a guy who's in a live sex show. And, and he said that he had developed calluses on his cock.
Oh.
From fucking so much.
I don't know about that.
Now,
you need
somebody with a
sandpaper pussy.
Speaking of accidents,
but you read
it.
You just
Wikipedia
pretend to do it.
That you got into the porn industry because of an accident with a coffee urn.
I did. I did get burned. That was
well,
that.
How did
that
you
was
get into porn through that?
I think if you look at it, I think that a lot of gals back then did not go into it for business. But it's, you know how they say like. Oh, Stan, if you're listening, honey, you're going to love this. Okay. That a lot of entertainers and comedians and things like that go into the show business because of insecurities. They're making up for something that they've lost.
And that
right?
still exists, yeah.
Right. So I was a model and an actress, a straight one, you know.
Yeah.
I love to fuck. I mean, I've always been into sex. I'm a Scorpio. Okay,
right.
Come on.
Right.
Now.
Scorpio.
What do you say about that?
Yeah. So, but I was
What's
a
your
model
birthday?
October 27th.
Okay.
Yeah?
November 6th.
November 8th. All right.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I the only virgin here?
Cool, baby.
Virgin on the ridiculous? Are you September?
No, Virgo. Yeah.
August or September?
September.
September what?
12th.
Ah. My daddy was the 19th. My husband was the 23rd.
He's on that cusp.
Okay, this is not the astrology show.
Sorry. All right, so you make up for what you don't have. So, you know, the first time I went home with my boyfriend, he turned off the lights. I've never turned off the lights while having sex in my life. And I cried. It was terrible.
Wow.
So I think the thing of it is, if you feel that you can't turn on one man, so why don't you instead
turn on a million.
On the fucking world.
World, yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I think that might be the correlation that they drew.
And how did you break in?
I rented a room from a gentleman, and okay, so I moved to New York, right, with a guy who was who wanted to start a music business, because I'd been to England and I was a mismanager of a rock group.
Okay, I remember doing the coffee urn.
So okay. What? Yeah.
Include the coffee urn.
Well, I was modeling when that happened.
Ah.
You know.
You were modeling and somebody spilled coffee on you?
No. I was at one of the Dolly Birds at the stand, you know, bringing the guys onto the stand and everything, and it kind of fell over on me, and I didn't know what to do. Okay, for all you guys out there, this is my public cervix announcement. No, seriously, if you happen to get burned, if you have hot liquids on you,
yes.
Do not sit in your clothes and sit there and just let it burn. You strip off, and you get ice or cold water or something on you as soon as possible. It stops the burn from burning in.
So
and I actually saved somebody.
Took your clothes off.
I did not know that.
Oh.
So it sat there.
Yeah, she stayed.
It sat there, and it burned, and it burned, and it burned, and it burned.
And then
it burned, and it burned. No, I didn't take my clothes off.
Okay.
They cut them off of me at the hospital, and there were third-degree burns, and I got skin grafts and everything. It was fun.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm telling you, but by telling somebody this story, he saved his girlfriend who had an accident on a movie set, and he took his cooler and threw the ice on top of her and saved her.
Ah.
So seriously, I'm really being serious about this. I didn't know about it. Most people don't know about it. If you get burned by hot liquids or steam or anything like that, you go run in a shower, put cold water on you, pack yourself an ice, do anything you can, except keep material on your body that will keep the heat in.
But how did that lead to porn?
We already been through this, Susan. Come on, you got to keep up. You got to be there.
You're
you
right.
Got to keep up.
I like her.
So that was it. You make up for things that you feel inadequate in.
Okay, so you just wanted it, once your body was healing, you wanted to show it off more.
No.
Well, what about me, though? I never felt inadequate in sex.
No, but I never felt inadequate in sex either. But I felt inadequate as a sex object. There were other girls back then who had, like, you know, been beaten up or whatever. It's a different business now. People get into our business now to become stars.
Right.
Since Jenna Jameson, you know, and they're reading that she makes millions of dollars, it's a whole different thing.
And there's a lot
at
more.
When I got into it, people did not go into it as a, you know, I didn't go into it to be a porn star. I was going to do some fucking movies.
Wouldn't I fuck a lot of men in the industry if I felt that way, though?
What?
Like, I only do girl.
Yeah?
So, wouldn't I do men and all that to be a star?
I don't know, honey. I don't know what you do.
See, here's the essence.
The only stars.
Nowadays, all kinds of people are getting into porn because you don't have to be in an industry. It's everywhere. You can have your own website. Any type of woman on earth is a porn star. I mean, there are porn stars who live their lives in burkas the rest of the time, but they make little porn movies in their home.
Oh, I'd love to see that. That's a documentary we need to do.
There you go.
Okay, we'll do that together.
Porn stars and burkas.
Porn. Okay. But in the early days of porn, it took a kind of a revolutionary to be a porn
actor. Yeah, well, we were, you know, Susan, from back then, we were rebels. That was mainstream.
I got to say this.
We just liked to have fun, and it was outlaw.
Yeah, it was really outlaw.
It was outlaw.
Exactly.
We were against the law.
Yeah, it was totally against the law.
And there wasn't very many of us, was there?
No, you could count them on, you know, six fingers.
Okay, I made 13 films in 1 year, and they told me that I had blown my career, that I'd overexposed myself, right? Now, girls can make 13 videos in like a week and a half.
Right.
Sure.
Uh-huh. You know? You get booked every
Gonzo.
Day, that's it. Yeah. It's a different.
No, it was
business.
A different, it was a really, and it was the golden age of porn. It was really extraordinary. I mean,
remember we used to have scripts? I mean, I would have a 90-page script.
Yeah.
We'd have 15 minutes of acting and 5 minutes of fucking, which wasn't very explicit.
Right.
And a lot of bush.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of bush.
Yeah. It's
You thought we had a lot of bush in the last 8 years, boy. You should have checked out those pictures. Major.
You know,
bush.
I invited tonight, he didn't show up, Barry Miller, who is really a historian of the Golden Age. And Barry Miller was in Saturday Night Fever.
Among other movies.
Among other movies. And I wanted him to come down because he has the history all in his head of every movie ever made, every actress, and one of your big fans, of course.
Oh, you know, tell him I sent my love. Yeah. There's a kid, his name's Joe Rubin, and he's this film historian. He's like a 21, 22-year-old kid. He knows more about my films that I've made than I
than
do.
You do, right?
I do. I forgot about that show. He knows everything, and he's amazing. He started, his parents, I don't get it, his parents allowed him to buy up old adult films starting from like 7 years old. I swear to God.
Wow.
Talk about a case for reincarnation. All right, I seriously believe this because he knew he wanted to come here and collect old films at that age. Uh-huh. I mean, is that wild?
That's pretty crazy.
I'm serious. 22 years old. He's talking to Skip, John Skip, and Skip knows everything about 70s exploitation movies and everything, and they like, had this amazing conversation, this 22-year-old kid. It's amazing.
Wow. So what did your family think of what you were doing at that time?
You know, I called my mommy and daddy the first time. I said, I called up my daddy, and I said, hey, daddy's mom there? And he goes, no, she's out the store. And I go, I just wanted to say I'm going to make a adult film tomorrow. And he laughs. He says, yeah, right. Okay, honey, what did you really call for? And I go, no, Dad, I'm going to do this. I'm really going to do this adult film. And he's like, yeah, okay, honey.
That's right.
All right. Okay, so what did you call? I go, Dad, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be an adult movie.
Yeah.
And he said, oh. Well, I'll be sure and tell mother. You know, and that's what it was. And they said that for a long time, they thought that it was like, you know, it just looks like she's doing that. She's not really doing that. And there was some
they thought
moment.
You had a stand-in?
Yeah, there was some moment when it was at breakfast or something, they told me about that. They looked at each other and it was like, wow, she's really doing this. This is really what she's doing.
Yeah.
And I think somebody came to my dad at work. He worked out at the test site in Las Vegas. And they showed him a picture of me in one of the magazines.
How nice
and they
of them.
Said, Sid,
how thoughtful.
Isn't this your daughter? And Dad said, no, that's not my daughter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they were proud. They were proud when they could be. But how can they be proud? Their friends weren't into porn.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So, I took my mom back and to a couple of award shows and stuff like that, and she enjoyed it. But you know.
Yeah. Are they still alive or have they passed away?
My father passed away last year, but my mommy, who is 94,
was
fucking awesome. Yeah. She's in
so
Las
she
Vegas
had
and
you in
great.
Your her 40s?
When she was 40.
And does she
when
now
she was
see
40.
You as a pioneer?
Oh, you're a change of life, baby.
I am. She took off with the, she owned a TV repair store with her husband, and she took off with one of the repairmen. That was my dad.
Oh, my God. Awesome.
I was a really child of love. And you know what? Because I find out from other people, they never saw their parents hug and kiss. My mom and dad always hugged and kissed. And my mom would always go past my dad and back up to him. And he'd like laugh and she'd giggle. And I realized she was reaching behind and grabbing his balls. Do you know what I mean? I pieced this together after growing up. Mm. They were always touchy-feely. And I'm so lucky that I had that.
Well, my parents weren't like that.
And they had a porn star for a daughter.
My mom.
It's great.
Yeah. I do other things though too, Susan.
No, I know.
You know, I produce regular movies and I actually have a family, you know, and I have sons. And, you know, so I am a porn star, but I've been a vacation Bible school teacher. You know, I've been a substitute teacher.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
A vacation Bible school teacher.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what?
So
I think
was that was when my kids were small and I was at the Lutheran church in Brooklyn.
And what did they think of your other career?
I don't think that they knew about that at that time. Yeah. But I was really happy.
That could lure
to
me
take
to the Bible.
Did you have any of the troubles that that character Amber Waves had with her?
No. That's what that thing is very confusing because my husband and I, we did separate and split up later on, but we were always together with the kids. The kids were always taken care of and loved and everything. So that was confusing that he compared me to that. But I was a person in porn who had kids. I did have kids, but I didn't have that trouble.
It's highly interesting to me because, I mean, I know now that it seems like a lot more people are having children.
You've got 5 minutes, Susan.
Seuss Randall is the gal that was my mentor.
And she showed me
that you can be in our business. Holly Randall's amazing photographer right now, right?
She is amazing.
Holly, we would take Holly out to the beach in Santa Monica, and Seuss showed me that you could be in this business and still be a really good responsible,
mom.
Caring, loving
parent. Of course.
Yeah. I mean, Seuss.
Thank you, Seuss, for you.
Holly Randall has made an amazing career, and she is so
awesome.
Creative.
Isn't she great?
She shot you?
Yes.
I want to shoot with her.
So what are you working on now?
Trying to raise money for Rose. It's a great movie, rose-3dmovie.com. Please visit it.
Rose.
Please.
Can you repeat that?
rose-3dmovie.com, directed by John Skip, produced by me, and it's fucking awesome. Puppets and zombies and singing and dancing. What do you want? What more do you want?
This is not
that
an X-rated movie.
Not adult at all.
Okay. And this is a movie about zombies.
Yes. Wow. It's the second day of the zombie apocalypse, and Rose, who's got a cable access television show just like you, Susan, like you had for years, she's there with her little puppet singing and dancing, staving off the zombies. Will she survive? Will she make it? It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
Well, and visit oitomboy.com, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
You're absolutely great.
That's Caden St. John and Veronica Hart, a.k.a. Jane Hamilton. What's the Jane Hamilton part? Is that the director part?
I produce under Jane Hamilton, and I direct and act as Veronica Hart.
You are so multifaceted, you have to have
You're
so
wonderful.
Many identities.
We love you.
No, she's look the cast
amazing.
Much, look,
yeah, the cast,
looks much
that's
bigger.
That's what I have. I have assistants with all kinds of different names.
That's all you,
I got
right?
about 12 people that You're work right? for me, personally.
Who are your other identities, Julian?
Well, if you want to hear my story about porn, I can't. But I don't know if we have time.
We don't have time.
Okay.
Aww. But you have to come back.
Just promote yourself. Your websites, your movies.
I will tell you my porn identity.
Porn identity for next time.
Yeah. Wildandwonderfulwhites.com. And is that what I'm supposed to do?
Mention. Well, Jewish men,
hon. You've got a premiere in L.A.
We open in L.A. at the Sunset 5, Lemley Sunset 5, and then move to the Downtown Independent. We're opening in Austin, Texas.
Are you going to have a red carpet?
No, we had that already last year at the L.A. Film Festival.
A white carpet.
They don't get to do red carpet just for L.A. premiere.
No, and we did the red carpet in New York at Tribeca Film Festival.
Is Johnny Knoxville going to be here?
No, he came to the two premieres. Oh. He's shooting Jackass 3
bang him.
In 3D right now.
Sorry, I want to bang him so bad.
Okay, I want to thank all you wonderful guests.
Thanks, Ruth.
Been really fascinating. So fascinating that I didn't take any of the calls that were coming
that's
in.
That's all right,
they were all from guys that want to know if it's normal to jack off every
right.
night.
Yes, it is. Keep jerking off. It's good for you. Use
normal.
It or lose it, kids.
Right,
and porn stars jack off all the time.
And morning's good, too.
Jack off.
Yeah, morning. And what about your website?
We gave it.
It's oitomboy.com.
Okay.
And it is up now with a bunch of videos.
And I want to thank Imtiaz. This is one of the few shows we haven't heard his voice
Imtiaz,
on.
Imtiaz, thank you very much
Imtiaz,
for bringing
thank
me here, Imtiaz.
Thank you for bringing Veronica, and say hello. Come on to the microphone. Just say
hello. Say hi with your radio voice there.
Public for the first time, you know.
I talked to him last time, huh?
Yeah, right.
He's called on
this
the air.
This is the guy.
Awesome. Yay.
This is awesome Imtiaz. From Arizona, actually.
Right. Oh, no, okay. Both from Arizona.
Arizona, white country.
Yeah.
All right, so, and I want to thank everybody.
All you Mexicans.
Laws in Arizona.
Show, all the bonobos, thank you so much for helping to make tonight's show possible. And thank you, my darling listeners, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, for having us in your home, your mansion on a hill, your hillbilly hill, or your cardboard box on the street, wherever you are, wherever you're listening. I want you to make like the bonobos, not baboons. Sorry, whites, but we're against killing people. We are for having lots of sex. So make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you.
Or Veronica Hart.
Yeah, well, you could make love to Veronica Hart. That's fine.
Yeah.
Or Katie St. John. Or Julian Nitzberg. You can make love to him, too, if that's your thing. There's a
well, I tried to...
Okay, we got you got to end. All thank right. you. We love you.
Talk about with anyone else, you can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497. Anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.